Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. I'd just like to extend a blessing to you all in Jesus' name here. I do believe that the power that is available to us as believers is something that is we don't want to miss. I've just been thinking about that a lot lately, how that the Christian life is so vastly different from all other religions, in that all other religions are basically just a mindset and a persuasion of the individual himself. It is a persuasion that the individual has of how God is and how he stands with God and all those things. But Christianity, in its purest form, is different from all of that, in that if we are walking with God and have our trust in him, then he will extend power unto us. He will extend mercy and grace unto us. And that what's given to us is what we have to pass out to the people around us, and also to feed on ourselves. And this week I would like to talk on some of that. I would like to talk on how Jesus, our older brother, as the scripture says, we just came through the Easter holiday, which is when Jesus 2,000 and some years ago was offered as a sacrifice for us, and it was done according to the will of God. It was done exactly and precisely according to the will of God. And the more I look at that picture, the more I see that really it was the best way to do it, that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I've often pondered on what that word believing actually means. And I think a lot of us have, because it seems that for so many of us, there's kind of a mystery behind that word. I remember when I was a young boy sitting in a church service, and I was about, I would say I was about 17 or so, and I was sitting there listening to the sermon that day, and I was living in sin, and I knew it, and yet I did not have I did not have a plan, so to speak, in place on how to get out of it. I knew I was heading for a Christless eternity, and yet with the life I was living, with the friends that I had and the group I was with, it seemed too big to me to leave all of that and to serve God. And besides all that, at the moment, I didn't really know how to serve God. The only way I knew how was to be a good person. And so while I was listening to this sermon, the person that was preaching said that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall be saved. And I remember pondering those words, the simplicity of those words, and I remember thinking, well, now I do believe in Jesus Christ, but somehow I knew that I wasn't saved, and so I was trying to figure out how to justify that statement. I knew what he said was from the Bible. And so ever since I was a little boy, I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And I believed that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believed that. And I believed that Jesus Christ died, was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day for the sake of mankind being redeemed back to God. I knew that. because I've been taught that in school. I've heard that, you know, throughout all the years of our growing up years. And yet somehow I pondered this question, and it kept going around and around in my mind, and I was thinking, how does this make sense? That if I, in other words, that would mean that if I would believe all of that, that I would be saved, and yet I knew I wasn't saved. And so this word believing has been a word that has gone on round and round in my mind for many years. And so recently, and then actually a few years later, I was born again at the age of 20, almost 21, and I became a child of God. And so all of a sudden that made sense. But even since then, this word believing has still been something I've been thinking about a lot. And so recently I have realized all of a sudden it made a lot more sense and it was a lot more clear if I put myself in the shoes of the people that Jesus was actually physically talking to at the time he was saying these words. In other words, if you go through the Bible and all the words that are written in red and you place yourself in Peter or John or Andrew or James or any of the disciples or the other people that would have been around Jesus at that time, if you place yourself in their shoes and you imagine the setting that they were in and now you translate all those words in red, which would have been the actual literal words that Jesus Christ spoke, and you imagine them as they were, because at that time the people did not yet fully grasp and understand that Jesus really was going to die and that he really was, you know, all these things are going to happen. All they had is a man who looked like a man. He had every appearance of a man. He ate, he slept, he walked the roads, he wore clothes, he bought, he sold, and so he had every appearance of a man, and so that's what they saw, and basically the words that Jesus spoke were just like you would receive from a friend today. And so all of a sudden that made more sense, so that when Jesus talked to his disciples in a certain way, or said a certain thing, they received it as from their friend Jesus. So they were constantly in their minds wrestling with the fact that this person that they're relating to is a man, and yet he is obviously someone from God because of his supernatural and divine a power that he had, as well as his, as well as the prophecies that were matching up. But back to this believing thing, it all of a sudden made sense to me when Jesus said to Peter and Andrew and James and John, when he said to them, "Follow me," it meant for them to leave what they were doing and follow Jesus. That's what it meant for them. See, for us today, when we hear the words following Jesus, we naturally think of we translate those words into simply being a Christian. So for us today, following Jesus would mean that we are a Christian. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. And we believe that by faith in that, we can be saved. But we forget that following Jesus means, for Peter and John, meant something else. It meant for them to physically follow Jesus. It meant for them to discontinue what they're doing and physically following Jesus. In other words, wherever Jesus walked, at that time, they would follow him. just like a little brother follows his big brother around. And it's amazing how Jesus actually calls us. I mean, he calls himself our brother. He calls himself my brother and your brother and my God and his God. He quoted those things immediately after resurrection several times. And so he's calling us his big brother. And as little brothers follow their big brothers around, that is exactly what James and John and Peter and Andrew were doing. They were following their big brother around, and they were watching everything that he did. Just like if you grow up in a family, you watch a little boy following his big brother around. Everything he does, if he lives on a farm, he'll be going around there feeding, and the little brother will be tagging along. And that's pretty much the picture that you get in those days when Jesus walked the earth. He had 12 disciples and yet a whole lot more in addition to that that followed him around literally. And so I have wondered already exactly what that means for us. But it is something that I would like to share more on in the days to come, perhaps to some of the things that I believe that Jesus was hoping to accomplish here on the earth as something he would like and desire to have a legacy that would continue from that point on as long as the earth stands. I believe Jesus was setting an example of how a man of the ideal life for his children to live. I do believe that Jesus did not only come to preach, as you will, but he also came to lead by example, and then ultimately he gave his life, and that was the lamb that needed to be sacrificed for our sins. So there's more than one reason that Jesus came. But the reason that I would like to focus on a bit is just to look at the example of the life from the point that Jesus was born until he was crucified. In other words, from the point of the birth of Jesus Christ to the point that he died, when he said on that cross, "It is finished." I would like to take a look at that life from when you're born to when you die and to translate that into my life and your life from the point that we're born to the point that we die, and to parallel that. And I do believe that God did send his son Jesus as an example of how we ought to live. And so that is some of the theme that I would like to talk about and take a look at in some of the and throughout some of the Gospels here in the days to come. So may the Lord be with you and bless you and guide you.